Over 2 weeks left until Chicagoans vote for mayor, there are signs front runners have finally begun to emerge in the chaotic field of candidates.
Tony Preckwinkle leads at 16%, with Daley at 14, and Gary Chico at 11, with Amara Inya, Lori Lightfoot, and Susana Mendoza all tied at 7%.
I didn't mean to scare him when I said he can change the weather. 14 people running for mayor of Chicago. He is now in the top three, according to CBS 2. It is Gary Chico. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
Good to be with you, Pete and Andrea. Thank you.
Nice to be
here. You know, it's interesting because you've ran for office before.
Yes.
And this has been an open field for mayor in Chicago, which hasn't happened in years.
Right. Until I ran last time in 2011.
Did you realize how grueling this election would be?
This is clearly a different one. There's a lot more candidates than there were in 2011. I think, you know, people got excited about the possibility of running for this office. And I think it's healthy. I think it's healthy for the citizens to have this array of choices. There's a lot of different people who come from different perspectives and offer different things in their candidacies. And it's a healthy thing for the city and the voters.
I'm curious, when you debate, now there's been many debates or forums, mayoral forums, is it difficult with so many people, and you're getting a lot of the same questions? I know you're catering to different audiences, and you're on the north side, you're on the west side, you're on the south side. But is it difficult to try and get your message across and your point across with 14 other candidates at times? Sometimes there's fewer.
Which well, right, now. Right.
Well, last night there were five, which is different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, for example, you'll be one of 14, and you get your minute response, and you have to wait 15 minutes
right.
to the next question. You play golf?
Yeah.
It's like slow golf.
It is.
Okay?
When there's nothing
shot,
more frustrating.
You got to wait for a while.
Yeah, it's like hurry up and wait.
But, you know, you regardless of the field, you got to be disciplined and you know, listen to the question and answer it as competently as you can. So, I mean, even though there's a broad field, you still have to participate in this democracy. So I've been doing that. A lot of candidates have not been.
Right.
I think I've been to 25 forums, not including last night's. A lot of candidates take a pass on those things. And I can't make them all because we have voters and supporters who want to meet us in different venues. And so
right.
you try to do the best you can. But I think 25 is pretty competent attendance for that many forums. And I do enjoy them. I love talking with people. I love hearing the different questions from the different sponsoring organizations. Some people are into, like, we have an arts forum this weekend. Some people want to talk about disabilities. Others want to talk about their issues. And, you know, that's why I say it's healthy.
What's your favorite off-the-cuff question?
Oh, we had one 2 days ago.
Was it who would you vote for?
Yeah,
I like that one too. I think that was Anna DeVantis' question.
Make you look like a deer in headlights.
Yeah. What was your answer?
I think I said Amara Inya. I like her.
Yeah.
I like her. I like Lori Lightfoot too. There's a number of, you know, you do this many forums and you're at this many things together, you form some camaraderie, you know.
Sure.
People get to know each other. And no, don't get me wrong, we'll throw a left hook and a right cross when the lights are on. But afterwards, you know, people are pretty respectful and decent to one another, and I think that's important.
Bill Daley has been bringing everyone to town today. He brought in Al Gore. You're a meat and potatoes guy. You're a Chicago guy. You have no entourage when you show up at the radio station. That's one of the platforms that you run on. You're a Chicago guy just like everybody else.
I'm a Chicago neighborhood guy who supports dibs. Daley ought to bring himself to the forums.
There you go.
Let me say, I don't see, he's not there very much. And I don't know what kind of strategy this is, sit in your living room and phone
it
in.
Can we talk about dibs for a second? Because there's tons of dibs in my neighborhood. But one guy put a recliner in the street.
No.
Yes. I'm like, wait a second. I go, no, no.
What's wrong with
that? No, not the recliner. I could see the folding chair.
The vacuum.
I've seen the vacuum, but the recliner?
Ladder.
You draw the line at a recliner.
Yes.
How about a full dining room set with the table set?
Right. I love those. I'm telling you, we have a billboard, actually, Stories That Matter, and it's dibs on our billboard.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. I was just in this very studio last weekend after I was in a debate at the Goose Island Brewery with some guy named Mike, and he and I were going at it.
Over dibs.
I had pro-dibs hat on.
Okay.
He had anti-dibs hat on.
Please.
And the crowd was going nuts.
Right.
Because this is a passionate issue. But
I
had a simple philosophy. You shovel it, you own it.
Right.
I mean, what's so bad about that?
For a month.
You get my vote just because of that right there.
Can you imagine?
Shovel the street all the time.
I have to say, I grew up on the south and the south side, but when I moved to the north side, which was 20 years ago, I learned what dibs was for the very first time because I had two roommates, you know, we're 24 years old, shoveling out. All of a sudden, some guy pulls in our spot, and that's exactly when I thought, I support dibs.
Yes, of course. Yep. You have to support
dibs. You're a true Chicagoan when that happens.
Pat Daly, or Pat Brady, who is on this radio station a lot, he used to run the Republican Party, talked about your neighborhood plan the other day, how he is all for it. And can you explain that? Talk about that?
Well, I'll give you an example. So today, the issue du jour is Amazon's back in play, right?
Yeah.
Apparently, the Long Islanders and Amazon couldn't get it together, and now Amazon is back in play. So I see the governor wants it. I understand that. His job is to sell Illinois. My job as either a person running for mayor or if you become the mayor would be to sell Chicago. But I'd like to sell it in a different way. I am not opposed to Amazon, but I want Amazon to do some things for our neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Okay? Our neighborhoods. The Amazon Go stores are all the rage, right?
Right.
You know, cashierless purchasing.
Yeah.
Why can't we have six or seven of those in the neighborhoods of this city? West side, south side, southwest side, northwest side. Number one. Number two, how about a fulfillment center? How about a place where we can actually put people to work right away who aren't going to necessarily be the professionals and the technical people who would be in the large operation they're talking about? I think we should have this conversation with them because we can't just have downtown-centric development.
Right,
we have to look to these neighborhoods. I want to bring the neighborhood commercial streets back. What's wrong with having a street that has vacancies right now with an Amazon Go store, a bakery, a coffee shop, a dress shop, a shirt shop? And by the way, we don't have to do miles at a time. We could start by doing 2-3 blocks. Let's bring it back to life. Keep the lights on. I'll give you something interesting to do. Go to Devon Avenue on any night of the week, but don't go till 11 p.m. And you watch that street come alive for a mile and a half. You'll see the lights on, people shopping, eating in restaurants, buying clothes, entertainment. I was blown away. I was there like three times, you know, in the last month. And I have always known that Devon Avenue had a pulse. But to see it three times in a row, this is a model for what we can make a large part of our commercial strips in Chicago that have gone dark and vacant. They don't have to be that way. We can bring this back.
I love that idea.
Why is that so difficult? It sounds so easy when you say it out loud.
Part of it is the rules that the city uses to provide incentive money to would-be entrepreneurs.
Right.
They want you to go out and produce financial statements, go get a bank loan, and then we'll reimburse you the
hoops.
Money.
You're right.
Who's going to do that? Yeah. I'd rather take an entrepreneur who's a startup business, take some risk, and let's see if we can make a go of it. We're going to lose some businesses. Well, that's not the intent, but that's just the way nature is. You're going to lose some, but many are going to stick. And you're going to bring these streets back. The stores are going to be lit up. People will be working. They will be generating taxes, and they'll provide goods and services in the neighborhoods that today are vacant.
Darlis and I both live in the city, so we have a vested interest in this election.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm worried about crime. I'm worried about taxes. How about you?
I'm worried about, number one, taxes, property taxes, paying more.
Mm-hmm.
Things, just little things like going to a grocery store and having to pay 7 cents for a bag.
Well, you came to the right candidate.
Yep,
let me tell you.
Bottled water. I mean, truly, my grandma joked one time. She grew up on the South Side as well. She said, everything's going to be taxed except the air we breathe. And
well,
someday
hold on.
That's going to be taxed, too.
Other candidates in this race may be coming to that.
Yeah, so, I mean, enough with the taxes. Yeah,
look, I've run an entire campaign centered on the theme of no more bricks on the back of the working people in this city. They are not ATMs for us being lazy governors. We cannot do that. I want to look at a system of revenues for this city that is going to not first go into your pocket, but be creative. Today I just announced a new idea on the west side of O'Hare Airport, not in Chicago, in the suburbs of this city. They want western access to O'Hare Airport. I want to draw a boundary around, I don't know how big it'll be yet, but communities-wide boundary and call that a special entertainment district.
I love that.
Where the city, because what's going to happen is, you know how Rosemont came alive on the east side of O'Hare?
Right, right.
You're going to have the same thing on the west side of O'Hare if we give them western access.
Yeah.
That development should pay special fees. We could share it together, but the city of Chicago can make tens of millions of dollars to its treasury to deal with its ordinary bills and its pension costs. That's the way, and that doesn't hit our citizens one penny. That's the way we have to start thinking around here. Mm-hmm. The other thing is we sit among these large commercial office buildings. Many of them are not properly assessed. There's been a corrupt property tax system in this city for decades. People are getting away with a very large underassessment, which means that other people pick up that tab, mm-hmm. including the residents in our city out in the neighborhoods. That's going to stop if I'm mayor, and we're going to make those people pay what they need to pay. We're not raising their taxes. They're being fairly taxed.
Right.
So this is the way we have to look at things so that we don't start by going into the pockets of our residents. It's too harmful. People are leaving. We're the only large city in America where people are leaving.
Right.
We've lost 80,000 students.
It's true. We pay more to park in this city than in New York City.
And that's not right. That's not right. This city has got to remain affordable. I'm going to fight. I'm good at this stuff. I'm going to fight to keep the costs in this city affordable. We cannot have people leaving. That cannot be our mantra.
Right.
We want people to come here, feel good, raise their families, have a few bucks left in their pocket. That's what I'm going to fight for. That's why I want to fight to be mayor of the city.
Gary Chico in studio with us. You brought up the pensions. We have a $300 million bill coming up next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about 2023 when we have to pay $300 plus more.
Yeah.
Next year, $300 million. Where do we get that money?
Well, let's say that it's $1 billion over the next 4 years. Keep it simple, right? $250 million, $250 million, $250 million, $250 million.
Right.
Let me put this in perspective for you. I've done 20 budgets in local governments and state governments. 20 budgets. I've never had an easy one. So this is not like this is like brand new. When Rahm Emanuel ran for mayor in 2011 and became the mayor, his budget deficit that he had to deal with in his first year was $650 million. This is $250 million. This is a chip shot. And I don't mean to belittle this and make such light of it.
Right.
But my point is, in context, this is not an insurmountable problem. The trick is raising that money without going into the pockets of our taxpayer and breaking their backs any further than they've already been broken. That's why I talked about these skyscrapers being properly assessed. That's why I've talked about a 1% tax on $1 million-plus home sales, generate $150 million. You get the assessments right on these skyscrapers, maybe that's another $150, $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
Longer term, I have the idea for the O'Hare Entertainment District. Longer term, I proposed a casino for Chicago. And in that casino legislation, I would propose temporary authority so that maybe we put it in an existing building and we get the money rolling quicker. I've also said that marijuana is coming. There are already bills being filed in the legislature.
Right.
Chicago has got to have its seat at the table to get its tax share. Between the casino at about $300 million, the tax share that we can get from marijuana, maybe $150 million. What am I up to so far? $600-700 million? We're almost there. And then we haven't gone into our pockets once.
You're right.
That was a referendum question, too. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about that, the referendum question about the marijuana, and if it were approved, it would go, money would go towards schools. And were these, and there was another one about term limits, too.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you about term limits, too.
Yeah.
And are these referendum that we just voted on in the past election, are these binding or are these advisory?
Advisory.
Okay.
It's not too often that you get a binding referendum,
yeah.
But since you raised the subject,
yes,
there's a lot of corruption that we're talking about these days in the city, and it's wrong, and it's got to stop. How are you going to stop it? There's three measures I've proposed as a candidate to get to the root of the problem. The first one is ending aldermanic privilege. You cannot allow one alderman to decide the fate of a liquor license, a building permit.
It's crazy that we still have that in this city.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, we got it. It's alive and well. And it's at the heart of these cases that you're reading about every day.
Mm-hmm.
Some alderman was using their power, aldermanic privilege, to leverage something out of some constituent or developer. That's got to stop. Secondly, ban all outside income if you're an alderman. You take the income the city provides, about $120,000 a year, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, term limits. Whether it's two terms or three terms, I don't know. That's subject to discussion. If you do all three of those things, and you do them by binding referendum voted upon by the real bosses in this city, the voters and citizens of this city, it'll stick. Do you really expect the city council to do unto themselves these reform measures?
They will never do it.
Ain't going to happen.
Right.
Not going to happen. So what do? You take that out to the voters. Let the city council fly in the face of the voters and incur their wrath. I think this is something that could actually get it done. No other candidates proposed a vehicle to get this done.
I know we have to take a break, but to follow up on that, how do you propose, if you're elected mayor, how do you propose that to the city council and expect them to follow you after that or vote with you?
Well, I think there's a lot of people in the city council who realize the voters are hopping mad about this, and they're gonna run at their own risk if they don't bring these measures about with us. I mean, you can't ever go wrong, Pete. You can never go wrong being aligned with the people of this city. Mm-hmm. That's the way I feel.
Right. Gary Chico in studio. What's your website? People can check out your message.
ChicoForMayor.com, and I hope people will consider voting for me on February 26th. It'd be an honor.
By the way, I saw your TV commercial just last night, and I like how Chicago, you take the two letters, what is it, C-H, and it spells Chico somehow.
You like the way we did that?
Yeah, very good.
Good.
You got
Thank
a good
you.
Team. Gary Chico in studio. We have more coming up next on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Andrea Darlis in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Gary Chico is with us. He is running for mayor. You were the head of CPS for years. Why did President Clinton call your model a model that the nation should follow?
When we walked into the CPS in the mid-90s, it was in very, very bad shape. The finances were in shambles. There was projected to be a $1.3 billion budget deficit. The academic performance was very poor by the student body as a whole. They had to bury the test scores and releases on Friday evening, you know, like tonight, so that it would be buried in the Friday in the weekend papers.
Right.
The buildings were falling apart. The Sun-Times called them schools in ruins in a long series. And there was a tremendous strife between management and labor. In a matter of a couple of years, the team and I went to work, and we eliminated the deficit, turned it into a surplus. We spent $3.5 billion rebuilding the schools in this city, built 74 new schools, rehabbed another 300 so that children would have a proper place to go to school. The academic performance rose 6 years in a row, and we had 2 4-year labor agreements with our teachers that gave 8 years of peace, which is probably the longest stretch we've had in a while.
Right.
That's why the president called it a model for the nation. But guess what? We have to do it again. This doesn't end. This is not like, oh, great, I'm done. I'm in the end zone. I'm dancing. It has to happen again. Things change. Circumstances change. Your demographics change. What I'm proposing now, Pete, is the largest expansion in the history of the city in vocational and technical education. Why? People need to have jobs at the time. They have to be job ready by the time they're graduating high school. We have such needs today. Our trades, as we're sitting here, need workers. They need skilled trades workers, and they don't have enough of them. Secondly, they don't have enough minority skilled trade workers, especially African Americans. We can change that and make that better through creating trade school campuses around our city. We can actually have the trades working side by side with our instructors in CPS and have students with certificates of apprenticeship ready to go into the trades at the end of high school. I also want to expand the International Baccalaureate program from what we brought, what was one site when I got there in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
Today it's 50. I want to take it to 150 sites. Why? The parents of this city are demanding excellent education options no matter where they live. We can do this again.
I know we're running out of time. Two questions. Is the city council too big? Would you make it smaller? And then I want to ask you about the police department as well and how we can help our men and women in blue.
I'm more concerned about the city council being properly regulated, if you will. I don't want aldermanic privilege. I don't want outside income. And I don't want people sitting there forever. I think that's the proper place to put our emphasis, not the size. Can you imagine if we go from 50 to 15,
right,
and we don't eliminate those powers? We'll create 15 more powerful people.
Right.
That won't help us.
Right.
You asked about the police department.
And I did ask, about the police department. Would you put more police on the streets, more sergeants, more lieutenants?
I think we need to do several other things first. Number one, I want the right leadership at the top of the police department, somebody who shares my values and the city's values about community policing. That's gone away, and that's wrong. That's got to come back so we build trust and a working relationship between the communities and the police department. Secondly, I want to get rid of the guns on this street. Is that going to be easy? Absolutely not. We are being flooded by illegal guns, a lot of them coming from over the borders in Indiana and Wisconsin. We'll reach our hands out and try to work with Indiana first, but if we can't get them to work with us, we may have to consider a federal lawsuit, because these guns are easily coming over the border, mm-hmm. being used in shootings and murders in Chicago. We have to stop that. And then finally, let's realize you can't police your way out of this. This is a human problem. We have people who have not been on the right path, have lost their way, they're in gangs, they're homeless, they're ex-offenders. They need a second chance. This city has a heart, and we ought to step up to the plate. I've proposed a $50 million investment, working with groups like Safe Haven, Heartland Alliance, CRED, the Safer Foundation, right. that will employ people, take them out of gangs. If you're an ex-offender, give you a second chance, and if you're homeless, we'll give you a chance to work. And what we're seeing right now from these organizations is people are responding. Hundreds of people are now being employed instead of being in gangs on the street and homeless. We can get this done.
Gary Chico, thank you for coming in. You got 30 seconds to plead your case to get their vote.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to make sure that everybody pays their fair share of taxes, starting with these office skyscrapers downtown. Look, I grew up in the streets and the neighborhoods of this city. I know this city. I want to turn this city around and make it what we all want it to be, a wonderful place. And finally, I want everybody in this city to have a shot at success the way I did. And I'm humbly asking the people of this city for their support so that I can be their voice in the city and with the city council on February 26th.
Gary Chico, thank you for coming in on a Friday night.
Thank you.
I appreciate
it. Nice to be with you both. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
It's 720 WGN.